that is a really cool app. Actually, my wife downloaded it for me. It counts down, so I'm supposed to start this when I preach. And when it gets to about like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it goes from green to yellow, and the numbers are in yellow. And then when it gets down to five, it goes down to red. So I know I have to wrap it up. And then if I go over my time, it's just, my wife downloaded it for me. Here's the problem. I got 3% on my phone. And I don't see any clock in here. So, hey man, it's kind of like that fella that was an evangelist, and he always gauged his timing. He would, start his sermon and put a cert in his mouth. And by the time the cert was all gone, he knew it was time to wrap up. Well, one day he didn't know this. He put a button in there, and he just kept going and going and going. So unless I have this app, and it just turned off. Amen. Oh, no, there it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I feel like God wants to speak to us today. And I feel like there's something that God wants to do today. And I just feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. Thank you, Brother Williford. You has such kind words in the office. He needs to come down to Mexico. Amen. He might not know how to speak Spanish, but I'll give him a hot pepper, make him speak Spanish in about 5 seconds. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 14 through 16. And when you have it, say amen. It says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And I will give her her vineyards and from thence and in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the days when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali. And I want to focus on that verse 16. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali. Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful presence of the Lord is in this place. I'm going to preach. I don't really have a title. I got more of a subject. And I just want to talk about the love of God. And if you were to put a subject or a title on this, I guess, you would say the prophet and the prostitute. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just feel like God is going to talk to somebody today. And if we could just get a glimpse of how much he loves us, amen, it will definitely change your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you close your eyes and lift your hands? Jesus, we love you. We bless your name, oh God. We thank you for everything you've done. Hallelujah. I pray that you'll touch and minister to each and every heart, mind, soul, and spirit, oh God. And that you would be the one that would touch to hearts today. And we give you all the glory. We can't do anything without you. Thank you, Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, before you sit down, I better warn you. I learned how to preach in Mexico. Amen. And there's only one way we know how to preach in Mexico. And that's, there's all kinds of sermons. There's a homiletical, a hermeneutical, and I don't know. Amen. I didn't go to Bible college for theology anyhow. I went to go get me a wife. Amen. Praise God. But there's only one way we know how to preach in Mexico, and that's hot Holy Ghost chili pepper preaching. Amen. And you might think, well, what kind of preaching is that? Well, you know, hot peppers, boy, they hurt. They hurt going in, and they, yeah. They just hurt. Amen. But it's been proven that if you have any parasites, it will kill every parasite in your system. So hot Holy Ghost chili pepper preaching, it'll hurt you a little bit, but it'll clean you up. Amen. Make you live right. Make you talk right. Make you act right. Anybody like that kind of preaching here today? Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's help that white Mexican preach. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. May God bless his word here today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the things that I have noticed, especially in recent years, of the church that exists today and how we have church, and basically a lot of the churches around the world, is that it just seems like they go through fads and phases, and kind of similar to how fads and phases happen in the world today, especially clothing fads, and it seems like in the church today, as we know it, or as I know it today, just seems to go through all these fads and phases, and some things are real popular, and you preach on certain subjects, and people get all excited, and at that particular time, that's not the most popular thing, then they'll just kind of sit there and wait on you, not disrespectfully, but then there's songs, amen, that we sing, and they replace old songs, and I don't know about you, but I love the old songs, amen, hallelujah. Amen. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. I mean, they got something to them. Amen. These new songs, I just call them 7-Eleven songs. It seems like you sing them 11 times and they only have 7 words. I don't know. Amen. And it just seems like certain technologies and certain aspects, even church growth programs and church growth methods, they go through phases. Some people just, hey, we'll bus them in, and this pattern, it seems to happen in the same way of waves of revelation. Seems like certain subjects are really. I remember a few years ago, everything was leadership, 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 and it just, they go through phases. Amen. And that was not the way how it was in the church of yesterday. The Bible says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. In other words, it seems like that in the church there's waves of revelation. There's certain doctrines that come in and kind of like the waves, they hit the shoreline and they go way, way up and then they return. And it seems like the church is that way. We get a new revelation and everybody takes it to extremes that weren't meant to be taken to. And then we all start preaching against it and go back and finally it's like a pendulum. It just swings from one area to the other and finally it finds its balance in the middle. Can you say praise the Lord? And it just seemed like that in that time where there is compensación, my word, this English, hallelujah, there's a balance, amen. It takes a lot of time, and there's all kinds of doctrines that are good. Can you say praise the Lord? But have been taken to far extremes that God did not do that. And the reason for that is because it just seems like the churches today are not based upon what the churches of 30 or 20 years ago were. Now, I just gave away my age. I am a young man. Hallelujah. But can you say praise the Lord? Amen. There were churches built upon where church was everything. It wasn't just a part of your life. It was everything. People would go to church 3 or 4 times a day, a week, and they would pray, and there was fasting and seeking God. There was good old-fashioned Bible teaching. Hallelujah. And today, just so much, you know, we got kind of dysfunctional people, and we live in a dysfunctional world, and there's doctrines that come, Hebraic roots, and then everybody's a Jew, amen, and hallelujah, and then all of a sudden we preach against that, and then running the aisles, and then everybody is this, and deliverance, and we just had dysfunctional people, and we had dysfunctional church. I had this one guy come into my church and say, well, my name used to be John, but now it's Bereshit Hada. I don't know what he said, and I got a revelation from the Lord, and we're gonna do something, and I got a sueño. ¿Cómo se dice sueño? My Lord, this English. I don't know how y'all speak this all day long. Amen. Sueño, sueño, sueño. Dream, amen. I had a dream that a mosquito came on top of your head and sucked all your brains out, and it was green, and then just because of that, Pastor, you ought to give me some money. And I'm like, hey, what do you think of that? I said, man, those tacos did you some bad last night. And you say, praise the Lord. And because we're just constantly going, and the reason why we have created dysfunctional saints. And the reason why is because we live in a dysfunctional world. Nobody knows who they are anymore. Hallelujah. We got all kinds of crazy people acting all kinds of crazy things, and church is no longer church. It's entertainment, and we stopped feeding the sheep, and we're entertaining the goats, and it's just like going to the movies or going to some ballpark, or amen. But when we come into the house of the Lord, there ought to be a move of His Spirit. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. There is no reverence for the house of the Lord anymore. People just come like they are. And amen. I remember when you went to church, boy, I mean, you dressed up because you had to have respect for the word of God. And amen. Hallelujah. My dad, I mean, he would preach. And I remember many times I was acting up, and I was always acting up. Amen. Hallelujah. And he would get down and just el cinto, como se llama this thing, amen, belt, amen, and his correas, his belt loops were just humear, the smoke, amen, hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? And he me sonaba, me calentaba las pompas, como se dice eso, amen. He that thing, I'm not going to translate what I just said in Spanish, my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he'd get back up and preach, and then 13 people would get the Holy Ghost that night. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, we need to go back to old-fashioned church and old-fashioned Pentecost. We're living in a dysfunctional world. Hallelujah. We got all kinds of crazy things. What used to be good is now shameful, and what used to be shameful is now applauded. Hallelujah. People don't know if they're man or woman, or if they're this or that, or if they're tall or short. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, the only thing that's going to change this world is not another program. It's not another politician. It's a good old-fashioned revival of Acts 2:38 message that's based upon the Word of God. You say, praise the Lord. Got all kinds of crazy things going on now. Hallelujah. People trying to redefine certain issues and certain things that were clearly defined, and telling God He doesn't know what He's doing. I'm here to tell you, He's still on the throne. He's still God. He still reigns, and He's still coming for His church. Can you say praise the Lord? And so because we live in a dysfunctional world, people are so attracted to all kinds of different ministries, especially, amen, if you had a real dark past, you like those, you know, hallelujah, hard preaching. Oh, I mean, preach it hard today, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah, do this. And we all the time, man, that's good. He needed that. Amen. Hallelujah. Or if we're obsessed with power, we want, you know, we like that that scripture, you shall receive power. And then, amen, abracadabra, patas de cabra, and pray for somebody and they fall out. And man, that's a real, and that's all it is entertainment. Praise God. And we're living in such a world that that's all they're looking for today. Amen. They don't want conviction. Amen. Hallelujah. They don't want you to preach to them like we used to preach yesteryear. Amen. They just, they want to hear poetry. They want to have a nice song. Amen. And you say, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I was talking one time to this guy. Boy, he was messed up. Amen. He didn't know what he was. Amen. He said he was the reincarnation of Napoleon Bonaparte. And I don't know why he thought that. Amen. He was this tall guy. Amen. Hallelujah. And he always walked around with his hand like this. And you know, crazy people today. You say, praise the Lord. The problem is, when you try to speak to them about the love of God, there is no point of reference. They don't know what to relate to. And when you talk to them that God loves them, they just really don't understand that. And because people today have been conditioned by Hollywood, by books, by movies, by music, by all kinds of stuff. They're being commissioned to have this idea of what love is. And they really don't know what real love is. And especially when you talk to them about the love of God. And that He's your Father. And that He loves you. And that He'll give anything for you. And we think that means cars and houses and boats. And when I was growing up, it was skateboards. Amen. Hallelujah. And we think that He's just nothing. He's just, ¿cómo se llama? Hallelujah. Oh, this English. Hallelujah. I'm glad when we get to heaven, we're all going to speak Spanish. Hallelujah. And so we don't know how to relate to the love of God. And hallelujah. It's kind of like because we've been conditioned and we think that love is given based on performance. We think that if I'm good, then God's gonna bless me. If I'm good, then hallelujah, I'm gonna get this. If I'm good, then He'll answer my prayer. If I'm good, then He'll heal my body. And I'm here to tell you, the love of God goes beyond all that. Hallelujah. The Bible says, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And Thou hast loved me with an everlasting love. You don't have to be good to get God. You need God to get good. Hallelujah. He loves you just the way you are. Amen. You don't have to put pretenses on. You don't have to put a mask on with Him. He knows exactly who you are. Can you say praise the Lord? It's kind of like, and sometimes we don't know how to relate to it. It's like a young lady that is married to and in an abusive situation, is beaten and verbal abuse and mental abuse and physical abuse. Amen. She finally gets away from that relationship and then hallelujah. And then when she finds another man that's cordial and gentle and kind to her and you're pretty. Oh, you're beautiful. Well, I don't know what he wants. Amen. They drive him away. And end up with the same situation that they ran away from. Can you say praise the Lord? Because they've been conditioned to think that love is based on performance. And I'm here to tell you that God's love is not based on performance. God's love is based on the fact that He loves you no matter what. He knew you before you were, hallelujah, twinkle in your father's eye. He knew you and He loved you. Hallelujah. He knew. He knows your faults. He knows your failures. He knows you're going to fail Him in the future. He knows all that, and yet He still loves you. And so how do you communicate this love? How do you show this love? And so that was one of the greatest things, and especially in the Old Testament, there was these prophets that they would have sign acts. And if you ever study the sign acts prophecies of Old Testament, amen, they're very amazing. The Lord would tell his people to do some strange things. Amen. He told Ezekiel to make this bread of abomination. Ezekiel 4:9. And now some guy took it and said, man, this is healthy stuff. And it's really garbage food. Amen. And everybody, oh yeah, boy, Ezekiel 4:9 bread. You need to have that. You know, and you read it. It wasn't the greatest stuff. Amen. And what they baked it with, human, you know. And everybody, man, Ezekiel 4:9, you ought to try that. Amen. He had him lay on his side for 390 years. And then flip over and lay on his other side for 40 years. There were sign acts. Jeremiah walked around with, ¿cómo se llama? Yokes. Amen. Yeah, yokes. Hallelujah. And, hallelujah. And they thought he was crazy. One prophet, he said, I'm going to make you dumb. And the only time you'll speak is when there's a word in your mouth. When I give you a word in your mouth. And I'm like, God, I really need that gift. Amen. The only time he spoke was when he had a word of the Lord in his mouth. Praise God. I wish every Pentecostal preacher would have that too. Amen. Hallelujah. He told this one prophet to run around naked. And I was like, if he told me that, I was like, are you sure? You know, I'm not saying because of me. Everybody else has got to look at me. Amen. Hallelujah. And it was all to show his plan and his love for his people. When he spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I got this plan. I'm going to save you. I'm going to redeem you. Amen. Abraham just didn't understand it. And he said, oh, you don't understand. Let me show it to you. Go get your only begotten son and offer him as a sacrifice to me. And when he offered up as a sacrifice, the Bible says, then Abraham knew and he saw our day. Hallelujah. He saw that we were going to be on the altar of sin and he would bring us a substitute and give us salvation. Can you say praise the Lord? So here we find the story of a prophet named Hosea. And it's a very powerful story. In other words, it's such a powerful story that even most liberal theologians today think it's not even true. It's more allegorical. And so he had told Hosea to go and, you know, he had been raised all his life in a good church, had his testimony clean all the time, learned all the scripture readings, and finally it was his day to get married and, amen. He was like, wow, ¿quién es la afortunada? You know, who's the fortunate one? And, amen. And, you know, he got all dudeed out and put mayonnaise in his hair and, amen, and mouthwash on his armpits. And, I mean, he was looking good. And the Lord was telling him, you know, it's time to get married. So he went to church and, boy, in walks the blonde. And he's like, hallelujah. And thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe sometimes some of these guys are dancing in the front. They might have some ideas and you think they're being spiritual. Amen. And so when he said all that, you know, and he had all his Pentecostal one-liners, pickup lines just ready, you know. Thy hair is as a flock of goats descending upon the mountains of Bathsheba. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, he had them all worked out. And when here comes the blonde, and he's like, yeah, Lord. And the Lord said, no, that's not the one. Wow. Okay, well, here comes the brunette. Hallelujah. Woo. Chihuahuas, man. Hallelujah. And here comes the brunette. And thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, from the bottom of my heart. you know, and the Lord said, no, no, that's not it. And then comes the, everybody was like, and this one, boom, I mean, it was, she was so ugly, make blind kids cry. I mean, she was terrible. Can you say praise the Lord? He's like, oh, Lord, have mercy. And she might be ugly, but at least her daddy's got money. Amen. Hallelujah. And he was like, oh, Lord, please, no. And the Lord said, no, that's not her. And then he speaks to him and says, go to the women of harlotry and marry. You think I'm making this up. Hallelujah. Go to the most embarrassing, most shameful part of town. And I have your wife waiting for you there. Boy, it's getting quiet in here now. I don't know if you're asleep or if I'm, you know, le estoy dando en el mero clavo. Amen. Hallelujah. And there in the slums, in no good place of town. Hallelujah. He said, there I have who's going to be your chosen wife. He said, praise the Lord. And the real miracle of the story is not so much that Hosea went and married her. That's not the miracle of the story. The miracle of the story is that he loved Gomer. Amen. Hallelujah. Marrying her was obedience, but loving her was something else. He loved her when she was unlovable. He loved her when she didn't deserve it. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, that is the love of God that's in your life. He loves you when you were unlovable. Hallelujah. He loves you when you were unworthy. And he goes, and, you know, he had all his Pentecostal one-liners all ready, you know. Hallelujah. I just know some in Spanish. Hallelujah. Yeah, no, I better not. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he ended up marrying her, and everything seemed to be going pretty good. Hallelujah. Until one day, she started staying out late. And I'm here to tell you, there's a God in heaven who loves you just the way you are. You don't have to be good. Amen. Hallelujah. You just got to have a love for God in your life. Hallelujah. And pretty soon they begin to, hallelujah, hang out. And then she would be coming home late at night. And things were not going. There was a little tension in the home. And hallelujah. And all of a sudden she became pregnant. And for some reason, Hosea knew that it wasn't his child because he named her Lo-Ami, and Ami means my people, but Lo-Ami means not my people. In other words, it wasn't his product, it wasn't his baby, and I'm here to tell you, how many times has God had to take care of things that weren't his, but because he loves you? And there was all kinds of, imagine the embarrassing situations when this good man of God, this prophet, had to go down to those shameful slums and find his wife. Imagine the criticism. Imagine his reputation was on the line. Imagine everything. He gave up everything to love Gomer. And the interesting thing is that her name, Gomer means complete, and her father was his name means raisin cakes, and so she was a woman that was completely dedicated to Baal worship. She was a temple prostitute, and yet this prophet of God, this saint of God, went and dug her out of that place of shame. And yet you would think that she would be thankful. But no, she started hanging out and started seeking her old lovers. The Bible says she began to get pregnant. And then one day as Hosea was coming home from work or being in the temple or whatever, the kids were outside crying. They hadn't been bathed. Amen. The door was open, and And things were really tense, and he knew what the answer was, but he had to ask the question. He said, "Where is Gomer?" And the question came back, "Gomer is gone. She's gone with her lovers. She's gone with all of that." And probably in his mind, when all of this happened, imagine, amen, doing everything that you can, hallelujah, and all of a sudden in that moment, that betrayal. Well, I did everything. I gave her clothing. I gave her everything she needed. I never mistreated her. I always treated her kindly. And now she has left, and he's thinking, why? Why is this happening to me? And that's when God spoke to him and said, that is how my people, Israel, is. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, we're living in that kind of a society today. Because God has been good to you way beyond you deserve. Yet we think that we're entitled to it and we deserve it. And hallelujah. And then we start being unfaithful to the word of God and to what he has placed in our heart. And, amen. And there's not that passion anymore. There's not that love anymore. I'm here to tell you, we need to be thankful for what God has given us. Amen. I'm here to tell you, Sodom and Gomorrah was judged for far less of what this society is guilty of. At least we have the word of God. Sodom and Gomorrah had no Bible. They didn't know nothing about truth, yet we know truth. And we're straying from it. And I'm here to tell you, our world today has just prostituted themselves on, amen, on convenience. I'm here to tell you, you should not sacrifice truth on the altar of convenience. Just because it's convenient. Well, you know, I think this, or I think that, or it is my opinion. God is not interested in your opinion. He's interested in your obedience. Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. You can come down to this altar with $1 million and it doesn't faze him at all. He wants to know if you obey him and if you love him. The days went by, and I'm almost done. Turn to your neighbor and say, that white Mexican, almost done. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? The days went by, and there was, he would go and Hosea would try to find where she was at, always looking out for her. He would go and knock on the door, and her lover would come out, big old, you know, arriga, and big old mustache and bald headed, I guess. Amen. Just mustache. And what do you want? Well, is Gomer all right? And oh yeah, who looking? I'm her husband. What do you want? Well, give her these shoes and give her this dress. And he would just throw him away and slam the door in his face and turn around and say, "Oh, Gomer, look what I brought you." Oh, you think I'm making this up? Read the text. Amen. And the Bible says she did not know that it was me. She thought it was her lovers that gave her wine, her vineyards, her flour, her, amen. But it was me. Hallelujah. And many times we think, well, you know, I got college. I got this. I got that. Amen. It's my ability. It's my talent that has gotten me what I want. I'm here to tell you, if God had not given you a mind, if he had not given you health, if he hadn't given you the breath you breathe, hallelujah, amen, you wouldn't be here today. It is God that has given you everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God that we have a country where you can come and worship him in spirit and in liberty. Thank God you don't have to worry about the authorities coming and taking you off. I'm here to say that we need to be thankful to God. There's people today that just will not honor the freedom and the liberty. They will dishonor it. Dishonor, amen, the sacrifice of men and women who died and gave their life for their freedom. Can you say praise the Lord? And we're living in a thankless society. Everybody's entitled. I'm here, and because you have it, I need to take it away, and they need to give it to me. And there's this entitlement mentality. And we think it's our ability and our talent. And so she continued with her lovers. She got herself into debt. She became more and more in debt. And finally, she found herself sick and in terrible condition. And she had to sell herself to slavery. And in that moment, the Lord speaks to Hosea once again and says, go and purchase Gomer. And he goes, and she comes up on the auction block, and the auctioneer is about, and people are laughing, and but there is a man back there saying, don't laugh, I still love her, I still. And she was, her hair all matted, her dress all torn, hallelujah. She didn't look like the same person before, but hallelujah, there was a man back there that loved her no matter what. And he sold everything, he gave everything to rescue her one more time. And when she came before him, amen, she came before him, the Bible says, and this is where we find our text. The Bible says she came and she bowed before him and said, Lord, what would you have me to do, Baali? That word Baali means my Lord. And that's what broke his heart. He said, oh, Gomer, don't you understand? I didn't buy you back to make you a slave. I bought you back to be free. You will not call me Baali. You will call me Ishi, which means my husband. Because I bought you so you could be free. You say, praise the Lord. And I'm almost done. Hallelujah. Being raised on the mission field and in a home of a preacher, I never had to really worry about my father coming drunk, and never really had to worry about all that stuff. I was getting to a point in my life, in my ministry, that I thought I could do no wrong, that, you know, revival was just something that came. One day here about 10 years ago, I ran into something that I just did not know how to handle. And I was starting to have really bad pains in my side. And I didn't know what to do. And, you know, like every man, I don't trust doctors. Amen. Terrible people. Amen. Hallelujah. This, you know... die or be cured, they're still going to charge you. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just didn't. And so, and I was living in Reynosa, Tamaulipas. And so finally my wife said, you know, you better go. I mean, my stomach was out, like out to here. And so I went to a doctor, and thank God for United Pentecostal Church takes good care. We got good health insurance. So I went into Texas, and they're in McAllen, Texas, and so, you know, when they brought me in, you know, they put those little things in the back, and I'm like, no, I front and just, you know, stand out there, hallelujah, get the doctor to you really quick, amen. And so he came in, and he just kind of put one of those popsicle things in your mouth, and he did this, and he knocked me over there. He said, oh, yeah. Then he looked at the thing in it, and he saw my insurance. Oh, you got insurance. Yeah. Oh, well, we're going to treat you real good. So they ordered all kinds of scans, a CAT scan, a dog scan, a whale scan, all kinds of things. And I mean, they put tubes all over in everywhere and sliced me out. They took out parts, never put them back. Amen. And just all kinds of stuff. And so here comes, you know, 3 or 4 months. They say, hey, Mr. Drost, you need to come back. We need to run some more tests. And I was like, no. And he said, yeah, you need to come in. And finally, they got all these tests back. And, I mean, they put me in this tubular thing. And, I mean, made me drink some stuff, and it was crazy. And so they called me and said, "Mr. Dross, you need to come to our office and bring somebody with you." And I was like, "Whoa, that sounds pretty bad." Amen. And so I went in, and you know, they make you stay at, they give you an appointment, and you arrive there on time, and then you wait for like 3 hours, and then they take you from that to another waiting room, and you wait there for 6 years, and then they go to another waiting room, and then finally, you know, once you're like to your limit, I mean, you're thinking of Pentecostal cuss words, you know, you uncircumcised Philistines, amen, hallelujah, and you just all this, and you see what I'm saying, and finally he comes in and he says, "Mr. Dross, I'm here to tell you," and I mean, they are tremendous preachers of doubt, and I respect all that, but this guy, boy, I mean, he had colored charts and everything, and he said, "Mr. Dross, we have detected 3 tumors, cancerous tumors on your liver, and it's bad." And I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He said, no, you don't understand. You have at most 6 months to live." And I was like, "Oh, man." You know, the first thing I thought to myself, my wife is going to get all that life insurance money. And she's going to go marry some, you know, young buck and go get a house on the beach and live good the rest of her life. And here I married an older woman so I could collect the insurance, you know. Some of y'all guys, forget it. Amen. I felt sorry for myself. I had all kinds of emotions going through me. I was mad. I was mad at everybody. I was mad at myself. I was even mad at God. And I was like, "Why? Why me? Why this? Why?" You know, I'm doing so well. My ministry is growing. I got 2 kids, and I don't know what to do. I don't think this is right. Why me now? And I was really upset. And so I just went home, and I didn't want to pray. I didn't even know how to pray. I just didn't feel God at all. And I was like, "Lord, I preached this all my life, and I don't understand. If you live right, if you live clean, nothing's going to happen to you. God's going to," and all this kind of stuff. And so finally I told my wife, I said, "Listen, I had some engagements, and I was going to go preach in Colombia. And I said, I'm just canceling everything." And she says, "No, you're going to go to Colombia." And I said, "Why?" "Well, you need to go." And I was like, "Man, I'm not even dead yet, and she's already trying to, you know, get rid of me." And I said, "Well, fine, I'm going to show her. I'll come home in a box." There you go. You know? And so, teach her a lesson. Amen. And so I went down there, and my stomach was out to here, and I was preaching, and as I was preaching, the pain was horrible. I couldn't even stand up. I had to lean this way, and I was preaching this way, and I was preaching to over 15,000 people. As I was preaching, I just felt like I was about to pass out, and I said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore." And I just dropped my head, and in that moment, I cried out with everything I had in my soul. And I said, "If you just at least love me, just let me get through this with no pain. And then take my life." And so I felt like the Holy Ghost was speaking to me. And in this, I was preaching, but I had this conversation in my mind. And it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, "What are you preaching on?" And I was preaching on, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And he said, "See, you're not preaching to them. You're preaching to yourself." And I thought to myself, that's true. I've been a praiser. I've been a worshiper all my life. And I just grabbed my side and I spoke to those cancerous tumors. I said, "Cancer, if you want to be a part of me, you're going to worship God now, because you're going to worship God." And So I just decided I didn't care how much it was going to hurt. I just got back and I just started preaching it. And as I was preaching, it was hurting. But then all of a sudden, I heard this noise. It went like that. And my shirt even vibrated. And I knew it was really loud because the guys that were like amening me behind me, they thought I'd done something. And they kind of stepped back. And I was like, no, it wasn't me. And at that moment, I thought, oh my goodness, I just ripped my liver apart. And I thought, I'm going to die right here in this conference. And I thought, well, what best way to die than die preaching the word of God. And I just kept preaching, and hallelujah, over 800 got the Holy Ghost that day. And you say, praise the Lord. And I went back. You know, back home, and I crossed the border to Texas, and I was like, man, and I went into the doctor's office, and I was just like, my goodness gracious, just walking. You guys don't understand. I'm dying here. Amen. And, you know, they made me go from the waiting room to the hall to the this, and I was like, you know, where's the doctor? I'm paying this guy. Where is he? And so when he came in, the first things out of my mouth is, doctor, I ripped my liver apart. And he just looked at me like, he didn't say it, but he was looking. You dumb white Mexican. He said, Mr. Dross, you can't do such a thing. I said, oh, believe me. If somebody, I'd done it. Amen. And he said, well, let me see. And he started poking me around. And then he got my deal up. Oh, you got insurance. And here goes all these tests again. And about a couple of weeks went by, and they called me up and said, Mr. Dross, something happened in our lab. We need you to come back. And I said, no, what's going on? He said, no, you got to have. I said, look, I'm dying, so I'm not going to give you another dime. Just let me know what's going on. Just give it to me straight. You know, am I dying tomorrow? He said, no, come here, I got to show you. And so he showed me, and he said, look, this is all the doc, or como se llama, I don't know. He said, look, you can see where there's roots going out into your, he said, but these are the ones we just took, and I think there's been a mistake, because there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. You don't even have scar tissue. We don't know. What's going on? There's been a mistake, and I'm sorry. I said, no, you just want to collect the injury. God done gave me a miracle. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, he loves you. I'm here to tell you, he loves you. And he'll give everything up to give you a miracle. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Let's stand. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I don't know who I'm talking to. And to be honest with you, when I was in the office, I felt something different. And I came here. I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I don't know what you're going through. And I can't even begin to fathom what your struggles are. And there comes a time where you really... And it happens to all of us. You're not the only one. Where we begin to think, well, it works for everybody, but it doesn't work for me. And God loves everybody, but he doesn't love me. And we become even a little cynical. And we become frustrated because we want God to... Sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers like we want him. But I'm here to tell you, if you only knew how much God loves you, he loves you even more than you can even comprehend. And if you'll just in faith reach out to him, I'm telling you, he'll change your life around. I think the hardest thing sometimes to do is to trust in God. It really is hard. When we were going a year after that, I was being chased by the cartels in northern Mexico. And I remember I would, you know, we don't have guns in Mexico. Only the bad guys got guns. We got all these crazy laws. And imagine that. The law-abiding citizens will abide by the law, but the people who want to break the law, they're going to get guns anyhow. And I didn't have anything but a baseball bat. I thought, if they ever come and get my family, at least I'm going to get two of them, you know. And I was going on like this for several weeks. I couldn't sleep anymore. And one day I was reading Psalms, and it said, I will lie down in peace and believe you, because only you give me life. Psalms 4:8 says it different in English. It's much better in Spanish. Hallelujah. And when we get to heaven anyhow, you know, we're going to have to speak in Spanish. And the Lord says, are you going to protect your family, or are you going to allow me to do it? And I thought, no, I guess I'm going to let you do it. Okay, then go to bed. And so I said, you know, are you sure? You know, and yeah, go to bed. And so I kind of looked out the window. I was hoping to see a tank in the front of the yard, you know. Nothing. Amen. I thought I was going to see some lions or something like that, or some angel, or some vision that later I could come to APC and tell all y'all about it. I saw absolutely nothing. My hair didn't curl, you know. I didn't have goose pimples on top of goose pimples. I just had to obey. And faith does not operate on basis of signs. It just operates on basis of obedience. And we want God to lay everything out, and he's just trying to tell you, you got to trust me even though it doesn't make sense. You got to understand that he loves you regardless. Can you say praise the Lord? Who am I preaching to here today? Amen. Who's going to be the first one to come to the altar and say, I need to trust God. I know he loves me. I know he wants to change my life. I know he wants to do a work in me. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Come on, just trust him. Just trust him. He loves you. Hallelujah. He trusts you. He loves you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's mercy at the house of the Lord. There's mercy in the house of the Lord. There's mercy in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you.